Let it be said, however, that the terminology of lower and higher is used only because your vocabulary is so limited and does not include the proper phraseology which would clarify the meaning. Even the very lowest form of man upon our planet could be considered as similar to an adept, or guru, as you call them on your Earth planet. He has already begun to learn to break away from the more bestial way of life such as is found on the lower Earth planes. You people of the Earth spend all but a very few hours of each day in catering to the needs of your body. You must feed it, sleep it, bathe it and otherwise pamper it, and yet you must otherwise use it or misuse it in gaining more and more of the things to pamper it with. You have become so steeped in the fears which are induced by pain and insecurities that you have incarcerated numbers of your kind, because they have become so weak in mental and physical ways that they have broken down in your treadmill-like existence, and while so incarcerated they are treated even more like animals, and guards with whips and guns are placed over them and they are chained or beaten, or perhaps shocked into insensibility. Such things are indeed crude and barbaric and do not belong in the consciousness of a man who supports such a system 6 days a week and supposedly worships his God on the seventh. And so to further increase this great travesty against his God, he must arm his children with the destructive weapons of aggression and send them out to kill his neighbor's children. Yes, my friend, even the beasts of the field which you use for food are not so unintelligent. But let us get back to my people. As I have said, we possess no physical bodies in your sense of the physical, neither are we born on this planet, as you would call birth by your standards. When a person from another spiritual plane wishes, for reasons of his own evolution, to live on this planet, he first seeks out, in a spiritual way, a plane or place in which he feels most harmonious and which will be most conducive to his proper growth. He will then seek out a family and a community and make his presence and his wishes known. They in turn will, through the power of their minds, project energy, and build for him a body in which he can enter and thrive upon this planet. This is somewhat like your materialization seance, but in a much more advanced and practical form, inasmuch as the participants themselves, or as you call them, the mediums, actually become the parents of the newborn materialized being. Sometimes, however, the newly entered entity is not accustomed to supporting his body in its new environment and it must therefore be from time to time refreshed and rebuilt by his parents. Sooner or later, however, the newly born individual grasps the idea by using the radiant energy and through his mind will project it into this body and thus keep it alive and vigorous. On your Earth planet, you must eat foods which are transformed into energy by a reflex digestive system so that your bodies may survive. On Venus, however, there is no eating in your commonly accepted concept. Our digestion is processed through the mind into our bodies and becomes an automatic process, which of course leaves us much more time for the better things of life. Just in case you may think this a bit preposterous, remember that energy is energy in whatever form it may assume. Your Earth scientist has already harnessed the solar energies in countless ways for your comfort and convenience. Even the battery in your automobile has stored energy which was originally sunlight in a bygone age, which came down to you stored up in carboniferous deposits or petroleum, and has been converted back to energy through the process of combustion which turns the generator, thus reactivating the battery. As you can easily see by now, we have engaged in what is quite likely to turn out to be a very detailed and lengthy dissertation upon our planetary way of life, and that it is quite different than your way. You must therefore take it in small doses, if I can so use this term, as I know the limitations of your Earth minds and as I would avoid any confusion. Therefore, let us rest for a while and I will return after a suitable interval. So until then, this is Malvar, can I say, signing off? Chapter 7. The goodness of the evening to you, brother, and as you seem a little surprised to find yourself back sitting beside the lake where we left off this morning, may I say that I took the liberty to set you back in this same spot after receiving the impulses from your mind. I believe we were discussing matters pertaining to the emergence, or shall I use the word birth, into our planetary way of life. There are also other aspects which relate to the absorption of radiant energies into our bodies which replace your familiar intestinal tract. Of course by now you will have begun to cast about you, and have found many heretofore seemingly unnoticed examples which are in every sense just as miraculous. Each tiny leaf and blade of grass carries on this radiant energy process. Your own bodies using the lower orders of intestinal absorption could not do so without the direct interpolation of this intelligent radiant energy. And while all of these things have been almost unnoticed, but nonetheless each and everything about you and within you carries its own message of its conception from the infinite fountainhead. But come, let us walk toward the mountain which you see in the distance, and do not be surprised if your walking has lost the laborious physical effort, or that you seem to float. As you are somewhat used to astral flights, however, I do not feel you will find any great difficulty in adjusting yourself. While we are progressing toward the city, may I say that you will quite likely see things which may stretch to the utmost your powers of conception. All things on Venus, and including the substructures which compose the planet itself, as I have said, in their own spectra have a relationship to the source or fountainhead which is much closer, or shall I say in a higher stage of evolution. Therefore those elemental substances, as you will see, will reflect in consequence an outward expression which has a great deal more perfection and beauty. On your Earth you have similar examples of this evolution. The soft black carbon in a higher state becomes the sparkling diamond. Likewise many of the darkened masses of metal may enter in an oxide form into some other siliceous material and give to it the radiant hue of the ruby or the blue cool depths of the aquamarine. In fact your gems are direct transmutations of these lower orders of elemental substances into a higher frequency relationship. The earth chemist has, in this last age, learned to tremendously alter things by the rearrangement of molecular structures, and while he must use tremendous quantities of caloric energy, he will no doubt someday find a much easier and less costly way to not only change molecular structures, but he may actually find a way to alter the frequency relationship of the substructures themselves. But see, now we are approaching one of our fairest and largest cities, and as I said previously, it does seem to hang suspended between earth and sky, but you will soon discover that it is actually resting on the top of a huge mountainous mass of what might be called perfect crystal. In your normal relationship, that is, if you are actually living on this planet, you would see that this crystal mountain was actually reflecting all of the colors of the rainbow from the many facets or prisms which go to make up this huge mass. However, as you are not properly attuned to all of the spectra or light radiant sources, you will see this simply as a mountain of clear transparent sparkling crystal. But come, here is the pathway. Yes, I see you are wondering how such a small pathway could serve such a large city. And as you have correctly surmised, there are many thousands of people living in what looks to you like some creation which you may have seen painted for you and shown in one of the darkened halls you call movie theaters. Transportation in these higher Venusian realms is not, as you might suppose, a problem which is solved by the use of various types of vehicles. We have no need for them, as we all travel freely about in the inner plane of consciousness. In other words, in something in a more highly evolved state than what you call astral flight. Your holy men, including the Avatar Christ as well as many hundreds of adepts, traveled about the earth in the same manner. This is, however, almost a forgotten science among your earth people of today, and only some of your seekers of truth know the history of past ages in which this form of travel was commonly used by these advanced souls. Now that we have reached what appears to be the main thoroughfare of our city, you will notice that it is built upon a flat plain which is the actual top of this crystal mountain. For convenience, if you wish, we will call this city Azure. There are, of course, many other cities which are built upon much similar masses of more highly evolved atomic structures which can be called mountains. In the lower orders of evolution, the people of this planet have built their cities upon the flat plains or valleys in more suitable places which have relationship to streams of water, which some of these people still seem to think is necessary for the existence of such cities. If you are a bit puzzled by this, it is because some of these lower orders of evolution, which have evolved onto this planet, still carry with them the strong remembrances and associations of lower Earth lives in which eating and drinking, and other things which they used to do, have not been entirely eliminated through the lapse of sufficient numbers of incarnations. Venus is, roughly speaking, a place where a person loses the last vestiges and remnants of those earth-life thought patterns, and, as I have said, he will evolve through many reincarnations to and from this planet until he emerges a full-fledged spiritual being. When I speak of earth lives, I am not necessarily referring to your earth, as there are countless numbers of such planets, not only in this universe but in the countless universes throughout what your astronomer calls space. All of these planets, of course, have their sister planets which have a higher place in their order of evolution, just as in the case of your Earth and Venus. However, I see that you are somewhat perplexed as you look about you, for you are wondering how you may best describe all of these things which you see about you. One thing more, however, I have purposely made it impossible for you to see my people until a little later on. This will avoid confusion and complication. They will also not be able to see you, nor will you suffer any embarrassment in case you accidentally meet someone, as you will pass right through them or they may pass through you. This can be done, of course, because you are in a different frequency vibration. A little later on, when your curiosity is somewhat satisfied, we will change this situation so that you will be able to see and talk to some of my brothers and sisters. However, as I said before, I am using the utmost caution and discretion, for I do not wish to disturb or shock the earth minds who may read your words. Not that we are not pleasing as to appearance, I believe you will find us so, and not too much different from the reflection you see in your own mirror, except that you may be able to see much more clearly the auric colors which surround our bodies. As we are in a higher frequency rate, we are therefore, can I say, much more dynamic, so much more so that we may appear to radiate light. However, let us enter one of the larger homes here which is standing close by. As you will see, they are all of tremendous size, and even though we are on an average but slightly taller than the Earth man, yet we would find that the small cubicles which he calls homes would be to us extremely cramped and confined. You will also notice that the materials used in these buildings all seem to be of some transparent material. Actually, this is not so. I have purposely lowered your rate of optic perception so that you will not be blinded by the dazzling brilliance and radiance which is reflected from all of the buildings and streets which compose this city, just as in the mountain upon which it stands. However, you will be able to see enough of the brilliance and color so that an adequate description can be written. In one of my previous discussions, I spoke of rainfall. However, rain falls only in the lower plains. We do not from necessity construct our buildings with the thought of protection from disturbance of the elements. Rather, our buildings are constructed not with machinery or tools, but with the creative energies from our minds. These homes and buildings therefore represent our first major efforts in the constructive use of energies. The Earthman paints upon canvas the pastoral beauty of that which is about him. The sculptor may carve from stone that which he sees in his mind's eye. Likewise, the bricklayer or mason is an artist in his own fashion. We, here on Venus, are likewise artisans, but instead of using the brush or chisel or the trowel and hammer, we use as our tools our own minds and the creative desires which stem from them. Combined with the radiant energies from the fountainhead, they become all of the things which you see about you. Yes, all of these buildings and all of the streets upon which they stand, and even all of the things which are contained within, were created by mind, and not one finger was lifted in any construction. But come, my friend, I will leave you here in the arboretum, where we will again meet in one of the future hours agreed upon by us. May your sleep be light and untroubled. Brother Malvar. Chapter 8. Welcome back to Azure, brother, and I am very pleased with a number of things. Your continued and lengthy concentration has helped much in the continuation of our project. I see now that you are able to make contact and arrive here almost unassisted. I see also that you are beginning to expand your consciousness in your own inner right to a point where I believe shortly you will be able to see everything about you here as it really is. I had thought at first that it might be necessary to keep part of this hidden as well as to conceal you, as the strangeness and strength of this world might upset you. However, I am grateful for your many years of psychic work, which will now enable us to progress more normally. I thought also that you might take a slight affront at being left on the doorstep, as it were, while we were just on the verge of entering in and seeing what these dwellings are like. But before we do this, let us ascend to the high balcony which you see on the spire above you, but we shall not climb. Instead, we shall use the powers of levitation. I will take your hand. See there. Now it is done, and here we are. Let us sit here quietly on this bench while you take in the panorama which is before you. As you can see, far out and below where we sit spreads one of the great valleys in which some of the cities of the lower orders are situated. In your earth cities, the social structures are such that a man's place of dwelling is most often determined by your commercial system of finance, or how much he has in a bank. That is why on other planets similar to Earth we see such vivid contrasts: poverty and slums where human wrecks live out their lives in misery and want, while their ragged children play in the street which separates them from their affluent and wealthy neighbors who live in great mansions and have far more than they know what to do with. Such wretched contrasts do not exist in our cities on Venus. Even the poorest family or individual, living in the smallest dwelling, is far richer than your wealthiest baron. But he counts, instead, the richness of his many blessings, his closeness to the fountainhead, and his knowledge and ability to actively participate in the integrated functions of one of the great spiritual brotherhoods. Around you, and below you, you are seeing a veritable kaleidoscope, and even with your still somewhat limited concept, this riot of color is almost unbearable. You are having a sensation which is somewhat like coming out of a darkened room into the bright sunlight. I will attempt to describe for your fellow Earthman something of what you are witnessing. As you see from our vantage point, the city has all two main thoroughfares which cross each other at right angles. This is done to properly interact the parallax of the magnetic lines of force. At their point of conjunction, the huge dome-like structure of crystal which seems to be glowing in all colors of the rainbow is the central temple which we may enter later on. I might say first that the cause, partially at least, of the reflection and refraction which seems to come from everywhere is actually a part of the function of the crystal-like substances of which all the vast numbers of buildings that you see before you are made. From up here they present an amazing and intricate array of domes, minarets and spires, balconies and galleries sweep around the sides in many places like the one we are sitting in, festooned with an infinite number and variety of plants and blossoms. A little later you will see that in the various rooms and halls of these dwellings are also displays of flowers which could be an earth horticulturist's paradise. You will notice also that there are no windows in any of these dwellings. Ventilation is, of course, for other purposes than for ourselves, as we do not breathe in the manner to which you are accustomed. Your bodies need oxygen as a means of combustion. You might say your bodies are actually internal combustion engines and in a sense function much the same as your automobile. Here, however, our body needs are not supplied from external sources of food and oxygen, but come from radiant energy from the inner consciousness. You will see also as we progress through one of these homes that the crystal walls and ceilings seem to diffuse a different intensity and quality of light. There is a reason for this. If you remember a number of Earth years back, at the beginning of the radio age, almost everyone who first obtained a radio had one which was called a crystal set. The music which came through the headphones was made possible by the rectifying properties of a small bit of galena crystal. Your scientist of today knows many more of the amazing properties of the crystal. Certain crystals enable him to send hundreds of messages over a single conductor simultaneously. Activated crystals also make possible a new vibrant energy therapy which uses high-frequency energy pulsations as the energy source. We likewise here on Venus in constructing these crystal walls and roofs have endowed them with certain properties. If you think for a moment that, like on your Earth, where you may have many thousands of different radio and television programs which are pulsating through the air simultaneously, it is just the same here, except that instead of radio and television stations we have countless thought-form wave trains which stem from individuals or collective masses, from not only the minds of the lower orders of human life, which reside on their countless planets, but we have also the great masters and lords, as you call them, collectively arrayed, individually radiating from the higher planes above us. You can see therefore that in a telepathic process there would be a great deal of effort and confusion in trying to single out one or any particular group of thought projections. We therefore use various rooms and halls as centers of meditation where we can receive a certain narrow or limited band of frequency or spectra which contain only one or a few thought train vibrations of the individual or group we wish to communicate with. This function of rectification and separation is performed by these crystal-like walls and roofs, and sitting in different positions about a certain room we can, in our meditation, engage in mental communication with any or all individuals of the great celestial universe who are capable of thought transmission. As you will notice, even a single home or dwelling appears to be of vast and tremendous size. This is quite true. A single home may often contain as many as 1,000 persons. While we speak of each other as a family, brother and sister, or father and mother, yet there are no actual blood ties as I have explained. Birth with us is materialization. The question of family relation resolves into one of harmonic relationship. If I can again use a familiar reference, it is like a chord on a piano keyboard. Therefore, while there may be as many as 1,000 dwelling in the multitude of rooms and halls which we call home, it is done with the utmost harmony and love. Thousands of years ago, when each of us first began to assume a small portion of self-mastery, we eliminated through our numerous reincarnations, one by one and step by step, all of the selfish grasping attitudes which the average lower order of Earth people seem to find necessary for their daily existence, and as these were eliminated we replaced them with the pure spiritual attributes of spiritual understanding in all our relationships with the great brotherhood of man. Now I can see this is a good place for us to return to our respective positions and rest a while until we again resume where we are leaving off. May I say, keep us in your thoughts as much as possible. Remember that we here on Venus are constantly radiating our strongest thoughts to our beloved sister who is so patiently performing the task of writing this narration that she may not be troubled by discontinuance, for our brother is a missionary to the earth plane to help in opening the doorway which will admit mankind into the new era of spiritual prosperity, one which will encompass not only your earth plane, but also countless planets throughout this great celestial universe. And so to our brother and sister, may the richest of God's blessings be with you. Brother Malvar. Chapter 9. A pleasant day to you, brother and sister. Since terminating our last visit, which took place high above the city on a balcony, there have been some new and important thought questions which I have intercepted and which I would like, if I can, to clear up for you. Sometime after the close of this last visit, some words were read from a magazine which dealt with relativity of various kinds of what the Earth scientist calls factors. He was found that the speed of light and the pull of gravity, radio waves and such kindred and allied expressions have one common denominator, relative to their speed in their, shall I say, expression or flow through his third dimension. Regarding this factor of relationship, he is still very much puzzled. It has not yet occurred to him that this 186,000 miles per second speed is only an indication, or as your doctor says, a symptom. The scientist has not yet pierced far enough beyond his limited finite concept to visualize that such expressions of energy, whether they relate either to the speed of light or electrical impulses or even to what he calls mass, would not, and could not, be expressed in his third dimensional world, unless it existed first in some form or relationship in all other dimensions. It can truly be said that this Earth world is only one of the many countless outlets and expressions of the cosmic fountainhead. All expressions of mass and energy must of course be logically expressed from this fountainhead before they can materialize or assume some proportion or value in his world. In short, whatever man does on his Earth plane, or has done, or will do, and it makes no difference whatever the act or circumstance, he was first merely brought into actual continuity any and all of such things directly from the fountainhead. If he presses the key on a telegraph or talks through a microphone across the world, he will have first pressed the key at the fountainhead, or he will have spoken through the microphone from the fountainhead. In other words, you don't get something from nothing. All of the somethings which you call energy and mass had to first come from somewhere. They had to exist somewhere. This somewhere is the fountainhead, which you earth people have called God. As I have said, God is infinite, and in order for him to be infinite, that infinity must be expressed in the finite. It must become negative and positive. It must become truth and error. It must be good and evil. Only in your association with this infinite God you contrive to place the stigma of self, and with this selfhood or ego you have warped and distorted these infinite and finite conceptions into thought patterns which will take you thousands of years to eradicate. At no place and at no time will man come into the true perspective of his relationship with the infinite God until he has eradicated the stigma of self and replaced it with the expression of the infinite God. Therefore, dear ones, listen not to the confusion of voices which is going on around you. How can anyone, in a world which is so filled with frustration and fear, with sin and negation, teach you anything beyond the realm of your own experiences? The outside world will give you nothing and teach you nothing. Their world, while it is all to them, as yours is to you, yet means nothing more than the ceaseless beat of waves upon the shore. Throughout the eternal time of your evolution you will find that only one thing is consistent and valuable in this evolution, and that is the part of you which comes from the fountainhead, that part of you which you call the still small voice. It is this infinite part in its infinite expression outwardly, which becomes all the things that you are, that places you in all of the dimensions and realms through which you will progress. For only by the actual experience and the expression of experience will you come to know the personal nature, as will you come to know the infinite aspects of this God Self. A little later on we will resume our narration and visit in the Venusian city of Azure. But for now, peace be with you. Chapter 10. I am hoping that my last discourse did not take you by surprise, or that you feel a loss at my deviation from our true course. However, it is not often that the opportunity of the written word presents itself in our expression toward the earth peoples. While my discussion seemed somewhat short, it need not have been so. I could go on for many hours along such similar lines, and while we here on Venus do not pretend to be the ultimate in all understanding, for we know of much higher and greater wisdom, yet all of such things must be added to the consciousness of each individual in proportion to his capacity for assimilation. We do feel quite strongly about the blind philosophies of your many Earth lives, and I am not singling out your own particular Earth planet. To us there are some similarities in such Earth life philosophy which remind us of litters of newly born animals, huddling together for warmth and security in the absence of the mother. Many times some Earth man, in the extremes of his feelings of want and insecurity and of his selfhood, has donned a superficial cloak of political or spiritual leadership, hoping perhaps that he might hide the running sores of his many frustrations and fears. You earth people have an expression something like the blind leading the blind. It is the fallacious interpretation of the many values of life that man seems to think he will find in some other individual. It is such dependency, for the interpretation of such values, upon his fellow man that often leads the individual far astray. However, as I previously mentioned, your Earth is a sort of battleground where you Earth people not only fight out your differences of opinion, but you will constantly reincarnate into similar life expressions until you learn that the true evaluation of life and its infinite expression does not come from a false superstructure of a conglomerate mass of other people's ideas and expressions, but rather in the true values which are only preconceived in their proper relationship from a universal and infinite conception. Nothing is more restricting or binding than a limited concept, which says that this is so or it is not. Many of the things which you will see in our way of life cannot and will not be perceived by many of your fellow Earthmen because of such restricted, fallacious attitudes. For instance, we have long since left behind the place where we needed vocal cords to make the guttural sounds which you call speech, in conveying our thoughts to our brothers. Likewise, the written word is superfluous. In our understanding it is the principle or concept. An Earthman, whom you see on your television, is expressing a rather crude and one-way interpretation or concept. Dunninger, a few of your other people who call themselves mediums are also expressing in a relative degree a more or less one-way principle or concept, calling it, as they do, psychic perception or clairvoyance.